أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The lecture, the title of the lecture today is why sad things happen to good people. Why bad things happen to good people. And we don't say bad because there's nothing which Allah does which is bad. Yadil khair, anything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, there is khair behind it, there is benefit behind it. So we say why do sad things happen to good people. Now we find many times the trials and tribulations sees good people, which people who are anything, good people who are anything ranging from, people who are good and who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on, they are seized by difficulties. Whereas people who are rebellious and this rebelliousness can range from just being rebellious to being totally evil, you find that they seem to have good lives. They have money, they have friends, they have influence, they rule countries, they do all kinds of things. Right? Whereas the good people are the ones who are sitting in prison somewhere or they've got some difficulties in life. So therefore this causes sometimes confusion in the minds of people who do not have sufficient knowledge of Islam to understand what is happening. My brothers and sisters, Islam is a religion which is based on knowledge. It is not a religion on custom and practice. It is not a religion based on superstition. It is not a religion based on stories. It is a religion which is based on the Kitab of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, and the Sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people leave this path and they try to find their way in the darkness without the guiding line, a guiding light of Iman and Taqwa, they get lost and they become the targets of shaitan, whose weapon is ignorance and superstition. One of the dangers of ignorance is the birth of superstition. Only ignorant people are superstitious, and superstitious people are the prey of scoundrels masquerading as religious priests and scholars. Today in almost every country in the world where Muslims live, there are exorcists, there are jinn drivers, there are hisar builders, there are amils and murshids, and they have a thriving business. The ignorant and compliant victims are willing believers of the fairy tales that these scoundrels tell them, and they are willing to ascribe everything from their hens not laying eggs to the natural result of bad driving or overeating to some jinn or the other whose purpose in life, they are told, is to block the egg passages of their chickens. These people are then convinced by these scoundrels that in order to remove these blocks and imaginary threats, they must pay good money to bad people to do bad things to good people. And in the process, they buy more trouble and they open themselves to more and more of their predators and indulge in shirk, which if they dive on, then their worldly troubles will look like a walk in the park in comparison to what will begin when their eyes close. So sometimes we ask this question, why is it that difficulties come upon good and pious people, while those who openly transgress seem to live in comfort and get more and more good things in life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us in detail and with great clarity what we must do and how we must face the difficulties in life. In a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once drew a rectangle diagram of a rectangle. He took a stick and he drew a diagram of a rectangle in the sand. And then he drew a straight line vertically going through the middle of this rectangle, right up but emerging out of it at the top end and going for a distance above that. And then he drew horizontal lines crossing this vertical line through the middle of the rectangle. So try to imagine the diagram. I don't have a board here to show you, but it's like a rectangle like that with a line going straight through up, and then there are little lines inside the rectangle which are crossing the perpendicular or vertical line. And then he asked his companion sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see his beautiful style of teaching. First introduce a question in the mind of a person, and then let the person ask and say, what is the meaning of this? So that you are assured of the attention of the person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never dumped information. He never just went and said, this is what you should know. Now you know. Goodbye. No. So he drew this thing and he said, do you know what this means? And the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the line going through the middle of the box represents the human being. And the other lines aiming towards this are the trials and tribulations of life. And they come at him from all directions. If a person manages to avoid one, another one will get him. And the extension of the line outside the box represents his hopes and aspirations. And the person remains busy with that until he comes to the top of the box, the boundary of the box, which is his death. I remind myself and you to reflect on this, because this is not a hypothetical geometric exercise. This is an exercise about our own lives. Who is that box? That box is me. That box is you. What is that line going through? It is your and my hopes and aspirations. And alhamdulillah, there is nothing wrong in that. There is nothing wrong in having hopes and aspirations going beyond your lifetime. Which father or mother is it who does not wish that their children live long after them in perfect harmony with each other? Which businessman is it who does not wish that he starts a business which will continue long after he is gone? Which person is it who starts some work of khair, who wishes that this work of khair should continue forever and ever? Why? Because that is the source of santatul jariyah for him. So nothing wrong there. That's how the world runs. The world is based on the desires of people. Alhamdulillah, this is the mashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it like this so that the world can continue to run. But we need to think about two things. One, that no matter how long our desire is, there is a lifespan that we have. And when we come to that ceiling, we stay there, the desire may go on. So therefore it is very important and sensible for us to think about, what about my life, which is up to my lifespan? And secondly, to understand that trials and tribulations are a part of life. Zindagi hawadis ke majmooye ka naam hai. तो अगर जिंदगी में किसी को हादसा हुआ था तो होने की चीज है, कोई अनहोनी चीज नहीं. हादसा जिंदगी में होता, वरना क्या होता? खबर में किसी को हादसा होता है या जन्नत में हादसा होगा कुछ नहीं. सो द प्लेस फॉर इंसिडेंट्स, द प्लेस फॉर ट्रायल्स एंड ट्रिबुलेशंस इज द दुनिया, इज दिस लाइफ. सो फर्स्ट थिंग टू अंडरस्टैंड अबाउट ट्रायल्स एंड ट्रिबुलेशंस इज नथिंग टू पैनिक, नथिंग टू गेट वरीड अबाउट, नथिंग टू बिल्ड सम फैंसी फेरी टेल इन योर माइंड अबाउट इट. Make sabr and shukr and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about trials and tribulations in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِيكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّا نَصَرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it mentions, which means, or do you think that you will enter Jannah without such trials and tribulations as came to those who passed away before you? They were afflicted with severe poverty and with ailments and were so shaken that even the messenger and those who believed along with him said, when will the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, certainly the help of Allah is near. Trials, my brothers and sisters, are a means of getting into Jannah. This is the installment that we are paying to buy Jannah. Right? It's like that, simple. This is your mortgage on your house. Right? Keep paying it and inshallah you get the house. So the trials and tribulations are the payment that we are making for Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the mortgage. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like it happens in Saudi Arabia, the best thing about being a Saudi citizen. You go and ask the government for a loan. So they give you, all right, okay, here is 300,000 riyal, go build a house. So the man goes, he builds the house. And how many installments? You got to pay this back in, say, 15 installments, 20 installments. So after that, he comes in, first installment on time. Right? So second is, very good, mashallah, jazakumullah khair. Second installment, absolutely on time. The man looks at it and he says, okay, you made two installments on time, khalas, no problem, rest of it, keep it. Alhamdulillah. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that for us, inshallah. Your Jannah. It's Allah, Ya Allah, it's your Jannah. Give it to us. Why should we pay you? How can we pay you anyway? It's all yours. Yes. Take Allah, take God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Build ta'alluq with that. Talk to Allah, man. How many times does this? Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not keep a boundary on how you should talk to him. Talk to Allah. have a conversation with Allah. Beg Allah, plead Allah. Then Allah says, zid karo, laad karo. Aur kis se karo bhai? Aur kis se karo? Aur kya wo hal nahi? Inside is dead. Connection khatam ho gaya. Maangna nahi aata, bolna nahi aata. All my Arab brothers and Sudanese brothers and Somali brothers and mashallah, so many nationalities looking at me. I'm saying, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, build the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, plead with Allah, fight with Allah. Fighting, not fight as in war, no. Fight as in a mother, a little child fights with a mother. I want this, I want this, I want this. Won't leave unless you give me, I will not go from here. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Ask Allah. I mean, and these are the days, yeah? Best days of the year. Absolutely best days of the year, best nights of the year. Don't waste them. Don't waste them. We have no idea whether we are going to get them again. Allah ask. We have no idea. How many of our brothers and sisters in the same month is Allah? How many of them we know them by name, we know them by faces? We should look for them in the Jum'ah, we should look for them. Today we look for them. Where are they? Inshallah, in Jannatul Firdaus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah will give them Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. We ask Allah to keep them in his care and in his mercy. But they are not among us. They are not among us. And one day they will say that people will say the same thing about us. People will say the same thing about us. Yeah, about this man. Like yesterday he was here, but today is gone. So let us make the best of the time that we have been given. To live is not simply to draw breath. Animals do that. Not human beings. You have to do more than that. Just breathing doesn't mean living. My brothers and sisters, so what are tests? Sometimes many of us who come and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the light of Hidayah in our hearts and we decide to change our lives. And we say, I am going to give up all the bad stuff I used to do. I used to deal in interest, I used to pay interest, I'm going to get out of that, I had some loans, I'm going to pay them off. You know, I used to go to the races, or I used to go to the clubs, or whatever, I'm going to stop doing all that, right? I used to drink and whatnot, I'm going to stop. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I pray tahajjud every day and so on. And then what happens? And what happens is because he closed his mortgage, now there's a bit of tightness in his cash flows. Because he did something, that because he gave up his membership of the club, now all his friends are after his life. You are a fool. How did you give up your membership of the club? You have no sense. The Yavapai said, Yavapai is an idiot. Why do you listen to him? Right? So all of this will happen to you. So we get discouraged. Why? Because many of us, when we turn towards Allah, we expect the angels to walk with us and to shake hands with us, and we expect to actually see the angels when this happens. Many of the angels are walking with you, Allah, inshallah. And they are shaking your hand, and for your own safety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a curtain between you and them. Like, imagine suddenly seeing an angel shaking hands with you, dead man. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want that to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a curtain so that you are safe. But don't expect that there is some kind of a switch the minute I become good, the minute I start praying and so on and so forth, now the heavens are going to open and you know, a stream of gold is going to pour into my house. No. Doesn't work like that. Does not work like that. There is a beautiful thing which one of my good friends, he sent me an email this morning. His name is Wakil Abdul Jamil. And I acknowledge him because that is a lesson which he mentioned to me, a beautiful lesson. He said that in the Battle of Hunain, we all know the story of the Battle of Hunain, which I have mentioned several times. The people who were new to Islam, the people who came to Islam early, who came to Islam late, after Fatah Makkah, right? They were at the front of the army, and when the army of Banu Thaqif, when the army attacked, these people turned around and ran. Right? There was a complete rout. They turned around and ran. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, however, turned the other way and he went towards the enemy and he called, who did he call? He called the Ansar. Specifically, he said, call the Ansar. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu called the Ansar. And the Ansar came and they stood with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they held that position and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the victory. But then, when the ghanima was being distributed, who got the material stuff? Who got the material stuff? The people who ran. And who got the Nabi of Allah? The people who stayed. So think about that. If you run from the Nabi of Allah, if you run from the hukum of Allah, Allah will give you dunya. But you will not get Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you stay with the Nabi of Allah, Allah will give you the Nabi of Allah, Allah will give you His Nabi, Allah will give you His rida, but you will not get dunya. But you will not get dunya. Illa mashallah, Allah might give you both. But immediately from this place, from this incident of Hunayn, if we take a lesson, what is the lesson? The Ansar went home poor. Materially, they remained poor at that point in time. But they went home with the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who lived with them and who died with them and who was buried in their house. And the others went home with sheep and camels, but no Nabi of Allah. So they lived with their sheep and they lived with their camels. We need to decide, who do we want to live with? Sheep and camels or the Nabi of Allah? What is the meaning of living with the Nabi of Allah? Living with the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are we really doing? We are applying for admission to a higher grade. We are applying for admission to a university. We are applying for admission for a reward. What happens if there is a reward which is being given? For example, the Qatar Foundation has an annual conference called WISE, World something of Education. And they give a very good reward to whoever qualifies. So now, if I'm running a school, and I want this reward from Qatar Corporation, Qatar Foundation, what do I need to do? Apply for the reward. If I apply for the reward, what's the first thing they will do? They will test. They will test. You have to prove that you are the best. Exactly the same logic. The moment you stand up and say, "Oh Allah, I stand for you. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, you called and I'm answering. Whatever I did in my life till now, khalas, tawbah. I make tawbah, ya Allah, you promised to forgive me, so forgive me. You promised to convert all these bad deeds into good deeds, so do that for me. But from now onwards, I make this niyyah that inshaAllah, I will not deliberately disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you all make this niyyah, inshaAllah? And you and I make this niyyah that we will not deliberately break or disobey the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this minute onwards. Make this niyyah, inshaAllah. Inshallah. This is kind of weak. Why? Because all the thinking about all the jilat plates and stuff, yeah? Say it properly, man. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beauty. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sign of your manhood. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings the angels. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes your dua accepted. So now, the moment we say this, inshallah, right? So what have we done? We have applied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance with Him. We ask Allah to give us an acceptance without tests, inshallah. But if the test comes, that is but natural. That is natural. So no need to get disheartened, no need to feel, oh my God, you know, I was better off when I was bad. So I should go back to being bad. No. The test comes. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about these tests? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah said about these tests which come on good people. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily and surely and certainly, we will test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and fruits of your labor. But give glad tidings, give bashara to us sabireen, the steadfast people. Who are they? Who, when afflicted with calamities, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Truly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen to this. He says, Ulaika alayhim salawatu min rabbihim wa rahmah. On such people, there is salat, there is blessing from their Rabb. Rabbihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascribed Himself to those people. Rabbihim, from their Rabb. Wa rahmah. And there is rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ayat came on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that there is salat, there is blessing on them from your Rabb. Yes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would have said, they tell them there is blessing on them from your Rabb. But Allah did not say that. He said there is blessing from them, blessing of, for them from their Rabb. Now my question is to myself, more than you. What is the value of the salawatun min Allah ta'ala? What is the value of rahmah min Allah ta'ala in my heart? Do I have value for that? And is that value more than whatever pain or suffering that I am feeling from this little trial or tribulation? That is the issue. If you want a US visa, I don't know what happens in the Hyderabad consulate, but in the Chennai consulate, when they used to be, people who would go to apply for the visa, they would go and they would camp on the pavement the previous night. They would sleep. Good people, wealthy people, educated people and so on would go and sleep on the pavement in Chennai, waiting for the whole night so that they can be first in line for the visa. Why are they doing that? What sense does it make that you go and sleep on the pavement? Because that reward which they foresee, that visa is so important for them, it's so valuable for them, that sleeping on the pavement is acceptable. No problem. So what is the value of the blessing from Allah? What is the value of the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My brothers and sisters, I always keep reminding myself and you, let us reflect on the kalam of Allah. Let us reflect on the Quran. Don't make it a mechanical exercise that we read the ayah and we go home. No. And that's why we must be very clear in our mind. Sometimes what happens is you get a small particle of dust in the eye and this seems to, you know, everything else, you forget about it because of this thing which is troubling you so much, because it's in the eye. But what's the reality of that? It's a small particle of dust. So one test, one tribulation, one illness, whatever it is, that is temporary, it is transitory, it has to end, it will end. But will it, it brings this huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us what should you do when you are in a trial, when you are in a tribulation, when you are in difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. O you who believe, take help from sabr and salat. What is sabr? Sabr is to do the maximum that you can do. I have mentioned this meaning of sabr before. Sabr is not simply to sit in one place. No. Sabr is to do the maximum that you can do. Sa'i is sabr. To work is sabr. To excel is sabr. To do and take all material means is sabr. And then we stand in salah. And then we say, Oh Allah, I did everything which I could think of. I did everything which I could do. But I know that the result will not come from this. The result will come if you give it. You know, Allah, now I stand before you. Why did I work? Because you told me to work. Not because I think the work will get me anything. Not because I think that you need me to work in order to make the result happen. Oh Allah, you are the one who brought a pregnant camel out of a mountain. Oh Allah, you are the one who parted the sea for Musa alayhi salam. Oh Allah, you are the one who took the boat of Nuh alayhi salam on the waters. Oh Allah, you are the one who by your hukum Isa alayhi salam raised the dead. Oh Allah, you are the one, because of your hukum Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an ishara to the moon and its split. Oh Allah, you are the one who took your Nabi from Masjid al-Haram ila Masjid al-Aqsa alladhi barakta hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. What am I and what is my difficulty? Oh Allah, give me. Do I know why? Do I know sicko? Alhamdulillah, this masjid, you people do give thanks to Allah, mashallah. Very good, Alhamdulillah. There's great acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of your du'as. Great good news which I already sent out on the mail, but for those of you who don't, who are not on the mail, you made du'a last week for that little girl who was 23 days old and who was in ICU because she had complete sepsis in her whole body. And you made du'a for her recovery. And immediately after we finished du'a and so on, they did a scan and there was no sepsis. The doctor said, it's a miracle. What happened to sepsis? So I said, your scan is wrong. I said, your first scan was wrong. She had no sepsis in the first place. No, of course not. Allah Alam, whatever it was, but my point is that that little girl now is playing happily at home. She's gone discharged out of danger. Alhamdulillah for your du'as. And this week I'm asking you to make du'a, inshallah. We asked last week also, we made du'a for one of our sisters for curing of her cancer. Continue to make that du'a, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure her without operations, without anything, completely take her home healthy, inshallah, and do it immediately. And then I've asked you to make dua also for another sister of mine who has a neurological issue and which is very painful. So make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must remove this immediately and cure her completely. And third dua, make dua for one of our musallis here, Faiz Hashmi, whose little daughter is another one for whom you made dua when she was born. This girl was born with a congenital heart problem. And she had, even when she was little, maybe less than a month old, few days old, that she had to be operated on her heart. And alhamdulillah, you guys made dua, and this girl is now 3 years old. Alhamdulillah, she's healthy. Now she has to have a ballooning process to be done, which will be done after Eid. So please make dua in this Jum'ah, make dua next Jum'ah, make dua at the time of Eid and so on, and also make dua during these days and nights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should cure this girl completely, inshallah, and whatever procedure has to happen should happen very easily without any pain, and she must be completely cured of her ailment, inshallah. Right? Make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, the one who accepts dua. We make dua, and don't ascribe this dua to say, inki dua or kisi ki dua, Allah ta'ala qubool karne wale hai. Don't build these things in your mind. So and so, dua is accepted. You don't know that, I don't know that. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of people. And we don't know whose dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. The famous story Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Musa alayhi salam. He said there was a time when there was no rain. Great hardship. Musa alayhi salam took the whole ummah out to make dua for rain. So when he was making the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, I stopped the rain because of one of those people in your community. He said, that man is evil. And he disobeyed me and he is the worst. And as long as he is there, I will not send you rain. So, find the man. Musa alayhi salam announced, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me wahi now, there is this guy, whoever it is, stand up. Now that man, he was evil, he was worst. But then he now thought, if I stand up now, I am going to be killed. Oh, I don't know what will happen. Oh, in the mid, I will be disgraced before everybody. So he immediately made tawbah, he made dua, and he said, oh Allah, you hit me, nobody knows me, oh Allah, please save me now, don't make me disgraced. So suddenly, while Musa alayhi salam is standing, who is it, stand up, it starts raining. Musa alayhi salam said, Ajit, nobody stood up, but it rained. So Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Rabbi Allah, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Musa, he made tawbah and I forgave him, so I sent him. Musa alayhi salam was a very, Allah loved him, he loved Allah. Very special among the Ambiya. So Musa alayhi salam says, Allah, that's a good thing you sent them, but then you know who is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Musa, when he was evil, I hid him. When he was evil, I covered him. Now when he made tawbah, you want me to tell him? You want me to tell you? No. That's between me and him. I ask Allah for myself and I ask Allah for you. May Allah treat us like this, inshallah, on the day of judgment. Keep everything between him and us. Not disgrace us for anybody. Today, if you, Ibn al-Qayyim or Ibn al-Jawzi, one of the two, he said that if you praise me, you're not praising me. You are praising the covering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put over you. Ajib. Wallahi, that is true, believe me. That is so true. It's not very, very true. Vyasa Allah always keep this covering, never to lift it. Never to lift it. And the way to ensure that, two things. It's a bit of an aside, but it's important. Two things. Number one, continuously make tawbah. Number two, never try to remove somebody else's covering. Never try to remove someone else's covering. And if we have tried to do that, I make tawbah for myself and you make tawbah for yourself. If it happened by us, may Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. And may Allah forgive our sins and may Allah forgive that we even did that or we thought about that. don't try to disgrace a brother or a sister. If you hide them, if you hide their faults, Allah will hide your faults. Inshallah. Our brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ista'inu bis sabri wa salah. Take the help of Allah with sabr and with salah. I will close this today at this point and then next Juma we will complete this lecture inshallah. I don't want to hurry through the thing, it's very important. We talked about sabr. What about salah? Salah is our resource. Salah is our number one resource. Salah is our weapon. Salah is our shield. And so salah is something which is worth spending time to improve and strengthen. Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib Rahmatullah, one of the elders of Tabligh, used to live in Madina, he died in Madina, he was buried in Baqi. Maulana, he used to say that tumhari namaz us waqt tak durust nahi hogi jab tak ke tumko ye yaqeen na ho jaye ki is duniya ke masail tumhari namaz se hal hote. He used to say that your salah will not improve until you convince yourself that this salah is the way of solving your worldly problems. Make the salah the tool that you use and you learn to use for all your problems. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do that. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Min ayn? Where? In this dunya. Not in your qabr. There is no salah in the qabr. Solve the problems of your life through salah. Use the salah as a tool. But like all tools, the tool has to be sharp. The tool has to function. The tool has to function. Then only the tool will work. So that tool has to be clean, then it has to be made function. And that is the way that we must work on our salah. I will end with only one small reminder of our salah. Think about the tasbih in ruku and sujood. What do you say in ruku? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. You do not say Subhana Rabbana. You do not say all glory and majesty to our Rabb. You say glory and majesty to my Rabb. Rabbi, my Rabb. You don't say Subhana Rabbana al-Ala. You do not say Sada Subhana Rabbana. Our Rabb, who is Ala? No, my Rabb. I remind myself and you to think about this and say, what is my connection with my Rabb? When I'm saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Ya Rabbi, Anta al-Azim, Anta al-Ala. Think about this. When you make ruku, when you make sujood, Shaitan plays game with us. Rasulullah said, a slave is closest to Allah when he is in sujood. So what does Shaitan do? He makes us do sajda like a chicken eating grain. Two taps on the ground. Alas, two sajda gone. The position in which we are closest to Allah, Shaitan makes sure that we spend the least amount of time there. My brothers and sisters, let us not fall into the trap of Shaitan. Inshallah, we will continue with this. For the moment, think about this. Hawadis, trials and tribulations are part of life. Trials and tribulations are how we pay for Jannah. Trials and tribulations are our gym. That is what gives us the tawfiq to pray to Allah and therefore it brings us closer to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised trials and tribulations and then He promised His sawab and He promised His salawat and He promised His rahmah. And what is the value of that in our hearts? And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a tool to deal with trials and tribulations. And what is the name of that book?
Salat. Sabr or Salat.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Sabr and Salat. So let us make Sabr. Let us work on our Salat to improve the quality of our Salat, inshallah, so that our Salat becomes like the Salat of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين واذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر اعداء الدين ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين